Welcome everyone, this is all about Windows Phone Insight podcast 228, recording this on 24th of August 2017. I am Steve Litchfield. With me I've got Rafe Blanford, how are you?
Hello everybody, and Steve, I think you're on the road because you've got your mobile rig and your mobile kind of sound for this podcast.
Yes, I do apologise if this doesn't sound incredibly high fidelity, but we do try and live the road warrior lifestyle here on AAWP, and indeed on most of my mobile podcasts. So occasionally you have to accept the fact that we're next to generators on motorway service stations, in cars, etc., etc. But what I wanted to talk about, and I'd accept the fact that this may be me doing most of the talking this evening, but hopefully you'll have some questions, is that my new toy arrived. So the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro. Now, first of all, have you read either or both of my review parts so far?
I have read both parts of your review and they're up on the site. So anyone who wants to know about kind of a hardware overview or imaging should probably pause this podcast and go and read the review parts. But I imagine many of you have already done so and kind of want a bit more of a roundup and a bit more of a question back and forth. But Steve, you've been waiting for this one for a while. Kind of top line, has it been worth the wait?
I think it absolutely has, you know, and it's not just me, because several of our regulars on the podcast, Steve Heinrich was a regular guest, and he was so inspired by last week's podcast with me having just had this new toy delivered, he thought, this is the new phone for me. And I know I had to pay £420 in the UK. He managed to find one for about $150, I think, on Swapper or some American equivalent. So I rather felt like I had the worst end of the deal there. But I still think £420 is not totally outrageous, considering the build quality, considering the high spec internals, considering the really rather excellent speakers, considering the fact that it's a phone in an ecosystem that's been forgotten by the rest of the technology world seemingly. So it really is a quite unique handset at the tail end of 2017.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think, and that price that Stephen got there was amazing, frankly. But probably just recapping, it's worth saying that when we're talking about Windows 10 mobile handsets, unless you're going secondhand or unless you're finding something in kind of your mobile phone shop or your operator, kind of older stock, actually, this is one of relatively few devices available. For example, the Lumia 950 here in the UK isn't really available. Of course, you have got the option of something like the HP Elite X3, but you'll be paying, well, at least £650 and probably nearer £700 for that. And this Alcatel Idol 4 Pro is going to come in around the £400 mark or so. I think it's £420 through the Microsoft store at the moment. That's probably a comparison that's worth making. Just in terms of those two kind of high-end handsets, and I will say the Alcatel is not high-end, it's kind of a bit below, but actually now that we talk about high-end handsets, that's almost a new definition now, because it is the £700 plus price point.
and more.
And certainly if you think about the, and I was going to say the Note 8 just announced in the last few days, kind of almost eye-watering. I mean, I can understand, actually, there is a justification. It is probably the most important bit of digital equipment you own, and therefore, you know, people are prepared to, you know, shell out for that. But actually, the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro, I think, is in something of a sweet spot.
Yeah.
I mean, got, you know, nice construction, you know, the aluminium chassis. So what I want to ask you is what you think of that kind of overall hardware design, the kind of that feel in the hand, the build quality, that, you know, before we get into any other bits and pieces, you know, just that kind of that first impression when you pick up the phone.
I think it's pretty stunning. Now, I liked it back in the days when it was the Alcatel Idol 4 without running Android, and then the 4S running Android. And I just mentioned the reason Steve got a bargain over in the States is he was getting the 4S with Windows 10, which was the American T-Mobile variant. So, of course, that's older and more niche. We're talking here about the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro for Europe and the wider world, and so it's got wider applicability, which is partly why, of course, it's new and more expensive. But the feel in the hand is really rather terrific. It is incredibly slippery. It's got oleophobic glass on the back, which we've now seen on a number of other Android flagships, and it's equally as slippery here. There are a number of, as you can imagine, me being me, there are a number of cases winging their way to my home as I speak. I've already tried a few of them out, and there will at some point be a case roundup for the Idol 4 Pro, which I'm sure people who have bought it will want to take advantage of, because you really have to put a phone this slippery in a case, otherwise it will drop onto concrete and the back glass will smash.
Okay, so that's great to hear. I think that's one of those questions that people always have and reassures you once you've actually seen one in person. I guess the other thing that's kind of worth saying here, Steve, is that actually in terms of Windows 10 Mobile, the spec terms, top of the road, because it's a Snapdragon 820, the Adreno 530, you know, the 4 gig of RAM, plenty of internal memory as well. And while the Elite X3 is a bigger screen, actually I'd say the 5.5 inches and 1080p is arguably more middle of the road rather than having the really big phone. So in terms of performance and that kind of core hardware spec, does it seem to measure up as being, you know, at the top end of Windows 10 Mobile performance and comparable to the Elite X3?
Absolutely. I can't notice any difference in performance at all. It's all masked rather by the OS version. Of course, I've already said that the Creators update is smoother and sleeker on Windows 10 Mobile. And interestingly, the Idol 4 Pro comes out of the box with the anniversary update, i.e. Autumn 2016 software. And at the moment, you have to go via the Insider program to upgrade it to Creators update and beyond, which is rather a shame. Apparently, Microsoft is looking into it. But the OS differences do rather mask, you know, doing exact benchmarks. Anecdotally, I would say this feels exactly the same speed as the Elite X3, maybe even a bit faster because it doesn't have to push around quite so many pixels. But to be honest, on Windows Phone, there was never huge performance differences, was there, between in the general moving around the interface and running apps between all the different phones, even the low-spec ones. And things aren't quite the same in the Windows 10 Mobile world, but certainly whether you've got 3 gig of RAM or 4 gig, of which 3.5 is only used, whether it's a Snapdragon 810 or an 820, doesn't make a huge amount of difference. It's a modern Windows 10 Mobile phone. The most significant factor about the entire device is that it exists at all. I'm going to try calling you back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. We have seen that on Windows before. And it is worth saying, I think all smartphones have got better in that respect as well. Kind of the performance differences you used to get, certainly I would say, aren't as pronounced. But it's good to hear about that. And I do think there's quite a lot of headroom on this device in terms of, you know, potentially updates to come. And also if you get a lot of apps and content on it or, you know, starting to push it, obviously having the better spec is going to make a difference there. You mentioned the software there and going up to kind of Creators update. There are, I know, a few caveats around that and just a few watch outs, particularly when it comes to a recovery image. I guess that's kind of early adopter itis for something like the Idol device. But do you just want to cover those off so people understand what that means?
Yes. Basically, let's say you're using the phone and you do something horrendous and you install something you shouldn't, or there's some problem with the operating system and the whole device crashes and gets bricked. You think, okay, no problem. I know there's a Windows device recovery tool. Microsoft have touted it. Steve's written about it. I'll just go there. I'll hook up my Idol 4 Pro and it will say, no problem. Let's reflash the OS to its factory setting, except the fact that the tool currently says we do not recognize this device, we don't recognize the manufacturer, which is rather sad. I think it's kind of a prerequisite really for selling a phone that you also have the back-end systems in place to recover it should something go wrong. I know it's early days, but I don't think Microsoft can really be excused here. They should have this in place by now, and various people in the industry have reached out to Microsoft, and hopefully it is now being sorted. But at this point in time, it still doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just a bit disappointing because, I mean, especially after the delays, it just feels like that attention to detail on release isn't quite there. But hopefully that will get fixed in due course. I mean, it's a fairly easy one in one sense. Yeah. The other hardware specification I wanted to touch on was the battery, because this is an area where arguably the Idol 4 Pro is weaker than others at 3,000 milliamp hours, certainly compared to 4,150 on the Elite X3, but even 3,300 on the 950 XL. I guess partly this is a consequence of it being a smaller device, but I was just wondering, I mean, you've had it now for a few days. Have you got any comments on kind of battery performance in general?
I would say that the battery is actually pretty good. The Snapdragon 820 you'd have thought would be faster. And, well, it is faster than the 810, but would also therefore consume more power. But it really doesn't seem that's the case. Obviously, as Qualcomm designed these chipsets with smaller die sizes and a greater efficiencies in terms of internally within the chipset, the power consumption goes down. So the Snapdragon 835, for example, is apparently very power efficient, despite it being the fastest chip out there. Now, obviously, if you drive these phones absolutely flat out with heavy duty applications and games, you will run down the battery faster, but most of the time, just buzzing around the interface, running normal applications, this Snapdragon 820 uses no more power than the Snapdragon 808 and 810, I would say. And certainly this Idol 4 Pro has got me to bedtime every single day without fail, without even a worry.
And I guess today that's the big test for a smartphone. You want to get it through the day, and someone like Steve is a relatively heavy user, I think is a good test case of that. Now, let's stay with hardware, and we'll get onto imaging in a moment, because I know that's something our listeners always like to hear about. But I'm guessing I know what your favorite hardware feature on this device is, and I guess it's somewhat related to a podcast. It's certainly got an audio dimension.
Absolutely, yes. The speakers on this are phenomenal. And I've done numerous speaker comparison tests, because not least because the Elite X3 had stereo speakers, and I had big hopes for them, and they were rather disappointing and tinny. And I was comparing them to, for example, some of the Android flagships with stereo speakers, unfavorably, because the X3 wasn't as good. However, I have tested every smartphone with stereo speakers I have, which is quite a few. And apart from the very old 3-year-old Marshall London, which is horrendously old by even Android standards, it's kind of the Lumia 1020 of the Android world with a one-trick pony. Apart from that, that phone excepted, this has the best stereo speakers of any phone in the world. And it runs Windows 10 Mobile. Now, I know you can say, but Steve, you can get the Alcatel Idol 4S running Android and have the best of both worlds. Well, yes, you can, but this is AAWP. This is all about Windows Phone, and we're just happy that we have such good multimedia hardware. And of course, it's a great, very good high contrast AMOLED screen as well. So it's a fabulous device for consuming videos, Netflix and so forth. I'm really impressed.
It's interesting because it does seem to be one of those hardware features that sometimes gets ignored a bit. And I'm surprised more manufacturers don't put an effort in here. I mean, these are JBL branded, but I think without trying to be too cynical, get pretty dubious or cynical about all of these kind of co-brand systems. I mean, it was B&O on the Elite X3, and we've certainly seen various camera partnerships over the years. Sometimes I think they are genuine. I think Nokia probably gets a shout out for the Zeiss co-branding, and certainly based on various visits to the Zeiss factory and interviews with product managers over the years, that was fairly genuine. Regardless of whether the JBL one's genuine here, the speaker really is a bit of a standout. So credit to Alcatel for that. And as you say, you know, one of the best on the market. So, you know, nice to have something market leading. Let's just finish off some of the other hardware features. It's got a fingerprint reader for biometrics located on the back of the device. I don't know what your preference is in that, but I assume that works without too much trouble.
Yes, it does. There is a slight caveat in that the fingerprint sensor isn't active 100% of the time, in that it doesn't respond within milliseconds when you first put your fingerprint on it. Now, if you turn the screen on using the power button on the phone, then everything's fully powered up and its recognition is instant. If you try and use the fingerprint sensor to power on the screen, then it just takes it takes about a second between putting your finger on the sensor waking up, doing the authentication, powering on the screen, doing the Windows Hello animation. And I still wish they get rid of that. But for all of that to happen, it actually takes about 1 second of real time. I don't think that's a major issue. Other people have said that it's too slow. It's certainly slower than on some of their Android flagships. But I think, come on, compared to iris recognition and, you know, taking off your glasses and hovering your face over the Lumia 950 and waiting 3 seconds for it to authenticate, this is just a breath of fresh air.
OK, so we've done almost all of the hardware, but there are two big bits remaining. Let's start with the screen. You kind of already alluded to this being pretty nice 1080p AMOLED.
Yeah.
I guess the question always is here, you know, what about bezels? How is it outside? I mean, you said it's good, but how good is it, especially given the price point of this phone?
Well, it depends where you're coming from. I would say it's absolutely up with 95% of the smartphones on the market. It's not as good as Samsung's very best, Super AMOLED Plus, whatever they call it, on their flagships. It's not as good as the Lumia 950, 950 XL with their clear black display polarizers, but it's not far behind. And again, considering this is Alcatel with no specific screen expertise, I was kind of glad that it's as good as it was. And away from sunlight, it really is very, very clear and very, very pleasant to look at. I still think, and I've alluded to this numerous times in the editorials on the site, I still think that Windows 10 Mobile's interface with the start screen and the dark theme in quite a number of places and the translucency, it all works really, really well on AMOLED screens. So it's great to have this with being AMOLED powered rather than LCD.
Okay, that's good to know. And in terms of kind of the fit on the screen, I mean, we've seen a trend for kind of smaller bezels. And actually, given that this isn't right at the top end, actually, I mean, I've used or seen the Android version of this. I actually think Alcatel have done a pretty good job, which goes back to what you said about the kind of build quality and that X factor of the feel in the hand. But any room for improvements? Is there anything you'd like to see done a bit differently?
It's interesting. I've got several phones here with the same size screen and pretty similar specs. For example, the ZTE Axon 7, which I've been using as my main Android phone. And the two phones are near identical in terms of form factor and in terms of bezels. And the common factor in both of them is those stereo speakers. And let's face it, if you've got a meaty stereo speaker out above the screen and below the screen for left and right when you're watching a landscape, that speaker uses up a finite amount of space and you can't have the screen going right to the very edge of the phone. Otherwise, you're sacrificing the speaker cavity, the speaker component. So I'm more than happy to have a centimeter or just under a centimeter of bezel top and bottom if it means I can have fantastic sound when I'm listening to podcasts or speakerphone calls or Netflix or YouTube. I think that's absolutely a sacrifice worth making. And there's a 16:9 screen, and let's face it, 99% of the content that you're going to watch and I'm going to watch is 16:9. So I don't see any need at this point to, but certainly this price point, to go crazy and do a 2:1 screen.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you here. And I think the important thing here is actually it's relatively narrow given the size of the screen, because the bezels on the side, of course, are very small. And honestly, I mean, I'm one of those people who don't really care how tall the phone is. And like you, I'd actually rather have a bit of space for, you know, decent speakers, be that front facing camera. So I think, you know, they've done a really great job on the hardware. I mean, I'm basing comments largely off having seen the Android version. So it's operating continuum compatible, so I guess we'll cover that off as well. But it's quite clear that Alcatel aren't really pushing that, because there isn't a kind of dock device that they sell with it or make available as a third-party accessory. You can, of course, use the Microsoft or the HP versions. I suspect the majority of people buying this device don't have access to that and probably wouldn't necessarily be looking to run Continuum. But like all the sort of Windows 10 mobile devices on this kind of chipset, on this family of hardware, it is capable of that. But I guess the big one, I mean, you're always major on imaging and camera, Steve. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about that. I'm sure I'm going to come up with some questions. But I mean, the quick Steve Litchfield verdict on imaging, and I guess we'll focus on still in your report back on video in a later podcast.
Yes, it's. I would say that it will, I know this is a classic cliche, but it will certainly be good enough for the vast majority of people. Now, the problem here, of course, is that the average AAWP listener stroke reader is not your average camera phone user. They are used to the very best. They're used to the Rolls Royce of the imaging world, and quite rightly so. This is a step down from the Lumia 950. Having said that, I've been taking it out and about doing photos and video in a number of scenarios with family, and only a couple of times in really low light if I had any real problems. It's certainly hasn't got the dynamic range of the Lumia 950. It certainly hasn't got the OIS, so low light shots appear dark as they are in real life. They can't turn night to day like the 950 can. The flash isn't as powerful. Video capture, which I will come onto, and I've done quite a bit on video. Video actually is actually pretty good, with the caveat that the audio side of things is not quite there. And I have contacted the Windows 10 camera team to try and work out what's going on there. I suspect they need to make some tweaks for the Idol 4 Pro's particular microphone configuration. So all in all, that's a cautious thumbs up on imaging. And of course, having a camera shortcut button, it may not be a two-stage shutter, Rafe, but not that many smartphones these days have a dedicated camera button to launch the camera and to take photos with. I mean, most phones have to make do with a long press on the power button and pressing the volume, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It does feel like it's a slightly more camera-centric device than some of the things you see at this price point. And it's pretty decent. I mean, like you said, it's not going to match the high end. But in terms of the specs, kind of the 1/2.4 image inches in terms of the sensor size, actually, that's pretty good. You know, it does feel like it's fairly standardized in many respects. And, you know, yes, it does match the 950. I'm just wondering, are you being a bit too kind here because it's a new device? Because things like the lack of OIS in particular can make me quite wary, because for someone like you who knows how to use a camera phone and, you know, regularly shoots pictures all the time, you know, getting around those limitations, you know about it, you're aware of it, but it just strikes me it might be a little bit less forgiving for other people. So, you know, the scenario where you're handing your camera phone over to a friend or family member and they're maybe not quite so familiar with the fact they need to keep still because there's no OI. I mean, I guess the whole thing being less forgiving, am I being too unkind there, or, you know, or are you being too generous, or should we meet somewhere in the middle in terms of that kind of camera performance? It just, I mean, I love the fact that you're enthusiastic about it. And I agree that actually a lot of the results, if you look at the review, Steve shared a whole bunch of images, there's some really great results. But it's always that real world camera use factor, which I think, you know, is important to talk about because it does affect, you know, people's perceptions and actual reality of using the device.
I think I am being a tiny bit generous, but and I think you're absolutely right. It's a new toy, and this has to be decent. Otherwise, I'm going to have to say that's it. No one buy it. It's got a rubbish camera. But that's not true. It has got a fairly decent camera. It's just not the best in the world. And that's why I have to rein in people's expectations. This is not a Lumia 950 killer on the imaging front, but it's perfectly good enough. And that's why I like to include those example photos in my review, just to give people an idea that it can do very, very good photographs. And there weren't that many duds to get those good photographs. And most of the photos I was actually very happy with. The £420 price point is interesting. Because you think, okay, well, is this camera good enough for a £420 phone? You think of things like the OnePlus 5 at, say, £450, for example, in the Android world, with, I would say, a better camera, but not by a million miles. Yeah, I would argue that £420 price point includes something of a Microsoft stroke Windows tack, whereby it's a unique device in the ecosystem. Therefore, Alcatel aren't going to sell as many devices, and they have to, you know, make a bit more profit on each one. And I'm absolutely happy with that. Just as with the Lumia 1020, just as the Nokia 808 before it, and I've said this on the previous podcast, I'm kind of glad to have this at all. We thought there may not be any more, goodness me, any consumer-grade Windows 10 mobile handsets, let alone near flagships. And here we are with one that's going to have 2 years of full support and updates, we hope. Certainly we should do officially. It's brand spanking new, it's shiny, and it's available now. What's not to love?
Yeah, no, that's a completely reasonable point. I mean, perhaps I was being too picky, having expectations about kind of Lumia-esque camera devices. And you're absolutely right to say the Alcatel, for, you know, whether you call it a window tax, and just be pleased that it is available. And it's easy to kind of say, well, actually, all smartphone hardware has got a lot better. And I do think there's been a massive amount of kind of evening out of the market. And that's really come through the commoditization of hardware, in that it just feels like there's smaller differences right across the price ranges. But at the same time, I think Alcatel do deserve credit for putting together a good package. And I always talk about smartphones kind of being a series of trade-off and compromises, kind of the equation. You put one thing in and you have to take something else out if you're meeting a certain price point or trying to reach a certain type of consumer. And I think what Alcatel have done here is actually put something really attractive together, and I would say arguably more attractive than the Elite X3 in terms of it having greater mass appeal. And it's not just the fact that the Elite X3 was enterprise focused, it's kind of the overall package of the hardware, and things like the speakers really make a difference. Having a good camera, but maybe also slightly more mainstream in terms of the size of the screen and the dimension of the device. So I'm really looking forward to hearing you talk a bit more about the Eyedl 4 Pro over the next few podcasts, and I'm sure we can expect the usual coverage to, you know, continue for a little while yet. So, you know, thank you for sharing your impressions so far, because I think it's been really interesting. And what I find really quite heartening is actually it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that actually it's kind of met your expectations. And having been a bit disappointed that it was going to be late, it's actually arrived and almost met your expectations, and in a couple of areas seems to have exceeded them.
Absolutely, and I'm really enjoying using it. I do hope they get this recovery image sorted, because that's going to be an underlying... If you imagine building a Lego house, Rafe, or a Lego mansion in your case, Blandford Manor, built out of Lego, but based on a rug or a carpet, and there's the possibility that the carpet might be pulled out from underneath the mansion. That's kind of where we are. Until they've got a recovery image in place, until Microsoft and Alcatel have a full support mechanism, then users are really building their entire digital life on this device, they could all be wiped away and all could be nullified, because the device could be bricked with no way of a user recovering it. That is a big worry, and it's kind of hanging over all our heads right now. Hopefully things will get sorted in the next couple of weeks. I know this has been slightly bitty podcast. I'm recording on the road, so Rafe's also in late from work and he's tired, so we've done our best. Apologies if we lost a few words in the middle of the podcast, but I'll say goodbye for now, and hopefully Rafe is still there to say goodbye from his end.
Yeah, goodbye from me as well. Thank you as ever for listening. We're going to have more next time on both the Eyedl 4 Pro and more, but I'll say goodbye as well. Please send us your feedback and tune in next time.